हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम् श्रीपरमात्मने नमः। मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः। अथ कर्मयोगो नाम तृतीयोऽध्यायः। Having unfolded the topic of Karma Yoga very beautifully, now Bhagavatpada is emphasizing the importance of Swadharma Anushtanam in keeping with Bhagavan's instruction in that verse. Earlier we understood, in spite of being blessed with a free will, in spite of being blessed with the knowledge of right and wrong, in spite of knowing what is right and wrong also, how a person does the wrong thing. For that Bhagavan can answer himself, it is because of helpless dependence upon the world for one's happiness, because we mistake the world to be real. We mistake the world to be real, therefore this depends upon the world for one's happiness. Sometimes the world is mistaken to be responsible for one's unhappiness also, even though the objective universe is neither the source of happiness nor is it responsible for unhappiness, still it is erroneously perceived that it is real. We take it as real, therefore we have a very strong understanding that the world is responsible for my unhappiness. The world is source of happiness. When situations are conducive, we think the world is source of happiness. The situations are non-unpleasant, we mistake the world to be responsible for unhappiness. Anyway, this perception of the world, that it is source of happiness, it is responsible for unhappiness, is an erroneous perception because of the ignorance of what is real. That is why when the sense organs come in contact with the external world of objects, either there is raga or there is dvesha. Raga dvesha, raga and dvesha are purely because of this erroneous perception of the world. The perception of the world is not erroneous. If we look at the world as a world, objectively, it is neither the source of happiness nor it is responsible for unhappiness. There's no way of having any liking for anything. There's no way of any dislike towards anything also, having any dislike towards anything. So raga dvesha, raga and dvesha, And based on ragadveshas, then followed by ragadveshas, followed by anger or hatred or jealousy, etc. All those unpleasant emotions, you know, which really keep rising. It's all purely because of this erroneous perception. Therefore, it's very important to correct the error in the perception. For correcting the error in the perception of the world, we should know what is real and what is not real, what is as the real. That is why jnanam is very important. But until jnanam, we have to manage these emotions. Only in the wake of the knowledge of the truth, obtaining as one's own self, when a person discovers one's own self being non-separate from Brahman, the truth, the whole, then one's perception of the self error in the perception of the self will be corrected. Error in the perception of the world also can be corrected. Then there won't be ragadveshas. Then there will be mental tranquility, absolute peace. There's no raga, dvesha means, I tell you, take it for granted. Raga, dvesha are not there, means desires are not there, means there will not be anger, there will not be jealousy, there won't be hatred, there won't be any other problems will not be there. If all these emotions resolve, how will the mind be? Absolutely peaceful. That's why absolute peace in being limitless, in being happy. And being happy is in discovering the truth, in correcting the error in the perception of the self. Therefore, correction of the error, the perception of the self and the world is dependent on the jnanam. But until jnanam takes place, how are we going to manage these emotions? That is where we say these emotions cannot be, ragadveshas cannot be destroyed totally. We cannot undo the ragadveshas, but they have to be managed. Until then, until jnanam takes place, you have to manage. Once jnanam takes place, you don't need to manage because they will be resolved. They won't be there for you to manage. But until jnanam, how can you manage it? That is why we say dharma anushtanam. That is why we follow the shastra teaching. We just surrender to shastram. So when we commit ourselves to live a life of values, we do not want to hurt others, we don't want to tell lies, we don't want, in being committed to live a life of dharma, then we are very conscious of our activities, what we speak, what we do, what we think. That is how, even though emotions rise, there will be anger, there will be raga, there will be dvesha, but still, they do not get expressed in our behavior. It means when our will is surrendered to Bhagavan of Dharma, then the emotions are managed. We live a strictly life of values. That is how we become in due course of time gradually pure and steady. That is how we become qualified for the attainment of studying, entering into the discipline of Jnana Yoga. That is how our study becomes effective. That is how knowledge can be attained. That is how even we can have meditative disposition, mental disposition. That is how we can ascertain the truth, vision of the truth. That is how we can enjoy the benefit of jnanam also. Therefore, in the previous verse, Bhagavan said, ragadveshau paripanthinau. If we do not thoughtfully, prudently handle those emotions, we do not take care of our emotions. Ragadvesha, we do not take care means we are not taking care of our mind. Pujisamjus said this mind is a delicate, darling, tiny little baby. You have to pay all attention to the mind and take care of it, your mind. You may be very conscious of handling other individuals also because they all have their own minds. Okay? Every baby needs looking after, okay? That is why externally we are old people. But they're all babies, okay? As a baby, delicate baby. And then baby needs looked after. How? That's what surrendering one's will to Bhagavan of Dharma is. Being committed to live a life of Dharma. That is how we pay all attention to our emotions and then we take care of the mind. That is That is how ragadveshas are managed. Tauhi asya paripanthinau. Otherwise, if we do not pay attention to them, not take care of the emotions, I tell you, they can cause any damage. In the sense, they'll make you go against dharma. In our behavior, what we do physically, what we say orally, what we know, then definitely will result in damaging relationships, and there'll be reactions. We'll become the victims of others' reactions also. And once you become victims of others' reactions, and you'll be reacting further, so reaction to reaction, in the long run, you'll be totally, there'll be lot of commotion, the mental, restlessness. And there'll be more anger, and then it's always, it's endless. So, it's very important to manage one's emotions. So, Bhagavan, we saw that in the class. Agadvesha have to be managed. We have to go to the 35th verse. Correct? Shreyan swadharmo vigunaha paradharmat swanushthitat swadharme nidhanam shreyaha paradharmo bhayavaha. In this 35th verse, Bhagavan definitely emphasizes the importance of doing one's duties. One should know one's duties and one should do one's duties in conformity with dharma. Again, duties differ in keeping the different roles one has to play. Duties differ. So in doing different duties in keeping with the different roles one has to play, one should be committed, one should see that one performance of all one's duties are in conformity with dharma. At the same time, suppose involving oneself in one's duties, even if a person is not able to do well, even if it does not help a person earn much more money, even a person has to really live in poverty, because I do all my duties, but I live in poverty. So to get rid of poverty, let me do something else which is not my duty. Is it okay to do that? Shah Bhagavan says, no. Paradharmatu sunushthitatu sadharme nidhanam shayaha. Even living life of one's own duties consciously, even if death happens, a person has to die also, that is better than doing paradharma, which is not one's duty. As a brahmachari, brahmachari should not poke his nose into politics, which is not his duty. At the same time, one must be conscious of social, one must be aware, so one must have social awareness. One must be supportive of what is right. That is different. Being supportive of what is right is different from involving oneself in things which one need not do. So Puja Swamiji was very conscious about it. We have to be supportive of the government which supports dharma, which uplifts dharma. You don't need to enter directly into politics if it is not your duty. The politician, a leader should be supported if he is righteous, but you need not jump into it. The swadharma anushthanam is very important. Nothing should be at the cost of one's duties. Suppose I do my duties, I don't earn enough, I live in poverty. Again, swastham remains you here. If a person lives in poverty or prosperity, the poverty and prosperity or starvation, the problems, is not because of what you do. Please understand. The very important, what I do as my duty, in conformity with dharma, with the proper attitude as an offering, is not at all responsible for what I go through in life. If there's poverty, if there's prosperity, if there's suffering, if there's pain, if there's pleasure, all these pleasant, unpleasant situations which you're experiencing in life, they're all determined by punyam and papam one has in one's account, which a person has earned as a result of previously done actions. That's called prarabdha karma palam. Prarabdha karma palam means accumulated unexhausted results of previous actions, which still remain, and now which is ready for fructification, which is now manifesting. In keeping with the punyam and papam, one has in his own account the present. There is a prosperity or poverty is all determined by the result of previous karma. But the present karma, that is why in Tamil we say varumayilum nermai. Even if I suffer in poverty, still I'm very conscious of dharma, not going against dharma. Means that's very important to be righteous even in poverty. So only a person who knows the value of dharma will not go against dharma, whatever the situation here. So situations, pleasant and unpleasant situations in terms of suffering, poverty, prosperity, they're all not determined by the present duty, present karma. At present, I must be very clear what my duties are, what are the roles I have to play, and what are the duties pertaining to the different roles, and I must do those duties in conformity with dharma, with the proper attitude, as an offering to Bhagavan. Why? Because whatever comes has nothing to do with what I am doing now. Even if you are a medical professional or engineer or an architect or whatever you are, a profession you are doing, I know you are doing. Because the previous inclinations, previous samskaras, your interest, your skill, your capability, your efficiency, your proficiency is all because of your hard earned things, which you're enjoying now what you're doing. But the money comes to you not only because of what you're doing at present. What you're doing at present is only nimittam, instrumental for, okay, enjoying what the punyam, what you have before. The present, whatever you enjoy, money, name, fame, popularity, comfort, anything you're enjoying in this life, that's all the actually realization of your check, like a blank checks previously deposited. Understand? That is coming back to you. The present karma, the present duties are only nimittam, instrumental. Therefore, if I change this, my situation will change. If we don't do your duties, it's actually only bhayavahaha. That is why it's very important for one to know one's roles, important roles one has to play, and to know one's duties one has to play in playing each role. I want to do one's duties. So dharmaha udharme nidharam shayaha. Why? Because in the long run, it will contribute for the accumulation of only punyam. It will prevent a person from earning the pratyavaya papa. Okay. So paradharmatu sunashtitat. Sudharme nidharam shayaha. Paradharmaha bhayavahaha. Why bhayavahaha? Paradharmaha, doing what you need not do, omitting what you should be doing, will result in accumulating papam. The papam or punyam also will retain you what? In ajnanam only, because you have to, it will bring you back into this world, again to go through life of paths of opposites. Never bhayavahaha. Okay. Now we see the bhashyam part. Shreyan. Shreyan means what? Prashasyataraha. Prashasyataraha means it deserves more, the greater appreciation. What deserves greater appreciation? What is better? Swaha dharmaha, swadharmaha, swadharmaha, vigunaha api. See, performance of one's own duty is always greater, has better appreciation, greater appreciation. Vigunaha api, vigata gunaha api. Even if it is relatively imperfect also, defective also. Anushtiyamanaha paradharmatu sunishtitat. So swadharmaha vigataha the vigunaha, vigata gunaha api, anushtiyamanaha, when the one's performance of Swadharma is being performed, being followed, that is much greater than what paradharmat sunashtitat. Even Swadharma imperfectly performed, defectively performed, Swadharma is far better, greater than even perfectly performed paradharma. Even if it is more remunerative, or it gets you greater pleasures, etc. in this life, still, but doing one's own duties is better than doing what is not your duty. Paradharmat swanushthitat. Swanushthitat means what? Perfectly performed, well done. Sadgunyena sampaditat. Sadgunyena sampaditam. Means sampadita means accomplished, achieved. Doing something which is not one's duty, which is others' duty, and others' duties, when it is performed and accomplished with greater perfection also, sadgunyena sampadita tapi swadharmaha shreyaha. Swadharme sitasya nidhanam. Nidhanam means what? Maranam apishreyaha. If a person lives a life of, lives his life performing one's duties in swadharma, in following one's own duties, even if death happens, maranam apishreyaha. Oh, the person lived clean life of his duties, but this man always suffered. No, he had no money, he had poverty, he had problems, he had illness, and that. He could have left that and he could have done something else. People may ask, may say, no. That is why even today, there are many brahmanas in villages, they live very simple. But still they hold on to the duties because they haven't given up that. So, swadharme nidhanam shreyaha, maranam api shreyaha. That must be only a purusharth nischeha is there. Commitment to the pursuit of jnanam is there. A person knows the value of jnanam. Therefore, a person is committed to do one's duties, knowing the importance, the value of doing one's duties. A person, knowing that a person lives his life of dharmas, duties, and even death happens, that is still better. Okay, death happens or suffering comes not because of doing one's duty, because of the papam, prarabdha papam. Prarabdha papam alone, you say, I used the term prarabdha papam, but you all understand very well. Prarabdha papam. See, somewhere something must have done previously. It is the papa karma phalam which is still remains unexhausted, and that alone is now being exhausted in the form of any time-bound suffering. Of course, any suffering is time-bound. So it comes, including death. Whether whatever you do not do. Or you do somebody else's duty. Still death is definite. In the same way, any suffering also happens, not because of the karma, not because of doing one's duties, because of one's papa karma, previously earned papam. Therefore, with that understanding, if a person does his duties firmly, even going through the unpleasant situations and suffering and poverty or death also, still, absolutely it is greater for him. You know why? Because he avoids the, because he doesn't disturb the universal harmony. Therefore, does not earn any pratyavaya papam. Therefore, it contributes for his spiritual progress. Therefore, that is better. Doing one's duty is better. Paradharme sthitasya jivitat. So paradharme sritasya jivitat. Better, it's better to die in by doing one's duties than being alive doing one's non-duties, doing others' duties. I do others' duties, which is not my duty, but still I'm alive. I'm comfortable. Shastram says what? Swadharme sitasya nidhanam maranamapi shreyaha paradharme sitasya jivitat. Even the death is better of a person who lives his life doing his duties than a person who is alive doing paradharma, doing others' duties. Now the reason is asked, kasmat. Wow, what is the reason? Kasmat. Because paradharmaha bhayavaha. If a person follows others' duties, rejecting one's own duties, then it is not good because paradharmaha bhayavaha. Why? It will produce only papam, and the papa karma will retain a person in samsara. So it again, remaining in samsara means always be subject to death, and which is subject to be afflicted by the phenomenon called a fear. Therefore, bhayavaha. Narakadi lakshanam bhayam avahati. It brings the fear of, going to hell and suffering, etc. Narakadi bhayam, narakadi lakshanam, fear in the form of going to hell, etc. Narakadi bhayam avahati. Okay. Yataha, that is the reason. Yataha, because it brings fear. It retains a person in samsara forever. Now the next verse. Bhagavad-pada introduces the following verse. Arjunaha vacha. What the prosodra of this verse, the Bhashyam part? Paradharme sthitasya jivitat. Swadharme sthitasya nidhanam maranamapi shreyaha. Kasmat. Kimartam. What's the reason? Yataha. Narakadi lakshanam bhayam avahati. So omitting one's duties, doing another's duties brings fear, retains a person in samsara fraught with fear. Bhayam avahati. We'll go to the next verse. Arjuna uvacha. So, yadyapi anarthamoolam dhyayataha vishayan pumsaha. Okay, in this context, I want to tell you something before I go to this Arjuna's thing. Shastram says this very clearly. It's very important for one to know one's different roles one has to play and know one's duties and doing one's duties in keeping with the need of the hour, in keeping with also. One must do one's duties. One must avoid unnecessarily poking into other things, doing others' duties, even if it is greater or superior. So when Shastram says, we should follow Shastram or not, the doubt comes. Just because Shastram says, what should I do? How am I going to suffer the problem of samsara? It's only just because Shastram says, should I listen? Here, in this context, there is a There's an explanation. The explanation is, sometimes there's a right, you can give the reason. You have to give the reason, appropriate reason, why I should do this, why I should not do this. And the reason given must be right reason. The inference must be right inference. There can be right inference, wrong inference. And the wrong inference, erroneous inference, is said to be hetu abhasaha. Hetu means reason. When the wrong reason is given, wrong reason is given to say something, to prove something, it's called hetu abhasaha. Let me give the example to make it very clear. I show somebody very thin. First of all, what I say, this person is fat. Showing a thin person, I tell you, this person is fat. And I give a reason why he is fat. I don't say he eats 3 times a day or 5 times a day. I give, what reason I give? Because there is wall behind him. This person is fat because there is wall behind him. It's called what? Hetu abhasaha. Hetu, the reason given is incorrect reason. Improper, unacceptable reason. There's wall behind the person. Therefore, this person is fat. If I give, the reason for his being fat, you know, is wall behind him. If I say, that is what now? Incorrect reason. Wrong reason. It's called hetu abhasaha. Suppose if I say, the person is fat because he eats always. He eats too much. Then that is hetuhu. The reason is what? Hetuhu. Hetuhu, hetu abhasa. Right reason is hetuhu. Wrong reason is hetu abhasaha. And the wrong reason becomes knocked off by what? Very perception itself. Pratyaksha jnanam. So pratyaksha jnanam. What is pratyaksham? The person is not even fat, he is thin. Seeing a thin person, you look at him as a fat person. Isn't it? So pratyaksha pramanam. Pratyaksha, direct person, directly seeing the person being thin, the thin, itself negates, isn't it? The reason being, it itself is the proof for reason being the wrong. Understand? The reason is wrong, hetu abhasaha. Here also, what should I understand? Should I use my own intellect to understand? Or should you accept the Shastra Pramanam? So Shastra Pramanam is like the Pratyaksha Pramanam. Shastram says, I should do my duty. I should not do Paradharma. Shastra Pramanam is like Pratyaksha Pramanam. When I see this person is thin, that itself proves the reason given being wrong. Is it clear? Shastram is like the Pratyaksha Pramanam. I should just accept it. Let's go by that. Then we don't need reason. Bhayavahaha, etc. Understand? Just because the question should not be asked, why should I follow Shastram? There is a reason why it is said. Because we always become disinterested in what we are doing. We don't like what we are doing sometimes. It is not because the action, it is because our own dissatisfaction, our own pain, our own suffering. That is what is the reason. And that is because our papa karma. What is brought about by papa karma, in the form of experience, should not be mistaken. What is the present situation should not be mistaken for responsible. Therefore, one should do one's duty. There's no question of why I should do my duty. Okay. Now, Arjuna completely moves on to the next step now. Yadyapi anarthamolam. Anarthamola means the cause of suffering. Anartha means suffering, affliction. Anarthamolam is, what is anarthamolam? The root cause of suffering is ignorance. And the ignorance alone is in the form of erroneous self-perception. And erroneous self-perception results in what? The sense of inadequacy centered on I, the fundamental problem. And the inadequacy results in the rising of the very phenomenon called desire, fundamental desire. Fundamental desire of wanting to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. And results in countless number of, you know, rising of countless number of desires. And it is desire which impels a person to do karma. Isn't it? Anyway, and when a person comes to know of an object, and the person starts dwelling upon the object, all the time dwelling upon the object, results in what? Results in the desire to own the object. Dwelling upon knowledge of the object makes a person dwell upon the object. And dwelling upon the object results in the desire to own the object. So he says, Dhyayataha Vishayan Pumsaha. For a person who is always dwelling upon the objects, Pumsaha, for a person who is always dwelling upon the objects, the object which he knows, for him, such a person, ragadveshau hi asya paripanthinau. And raga and dvesha, likes and dislikes, for that person becomes obstacles, paripanthinau, obstructions in his growth, in his spiritual growth, in accomplishing his spiritual wisdom, in accomplishing the moksha, in discovering moksha, in accomplishing the spiritual wisdom, they become big obstacles. Raga dvesha. So raga and dvesha can become paripanthinav, can become obstacles, obstructions, only for a person who is dwelling upon the objects. Iti cha uktam. Already this has been how ragadvesha finally happens. This all has been already explained. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha kamat krodho bijayate krodat, like etc. We already explained. Krodat bhavati sammohaha sammohat smriti vibhramaha smriti bhramshad buddhinashaha buddhinashad vinashyati. Remember all that? How it ruins a person, how it eatens a person samsara. Okay? So, and therefore ragadveshas become what now? Big obstacles, impediments for this spiritual person in accomplishing his goal. Iti cha uktam. Vikshiptam anavadharitam cha tadu uktam. So already the root cause of suffering being ignorance, and ignorance caused desires, and not being able to manage one's desires, all this become somehow retains a person samsara. Therefore, somehow ragadveshas become big obstacles. And we cannot undo the ragadveshas, because we cannot create the ragadveshas. We cannot prevent the ragadveshas from rising. At the same time, we cannot undo them also. Then how are we going to manage them? Why these ragadveshas come? That is what here Arjuna is going to. Uktamta vikshiptam. Vikshiptam is what? This problem of ragadvesha, ragadveshas being the problem is, you know, is discussed everywhere. Vikshiptam is what? Is discussed everywhere. So it is found scattered everywhere. Ragadveshas being discussed. Ragadveshas discussed everywhere as the problems. Anavadharitam cha. Even though ragadvesha topic has been discussed everywhere, vikshipta means what? It is scattered everywhere. Scattered means what? The same topic of ragadveshas being impediments is discussed in different texts, in different places. But still, anavadharitam, still it is not yet been understood well. Ragadveshas are discussed always. And they are said to be impediments, obstacles, where in many texts they are discussed everywhere, but still anavadharitam, but still not yet been really correctly understood and ascertained. Anavadharitam cha tad uktam. Therefore, sankshiptam nischitam ta idameva jnatum icchan. Therefore, now Arjuna wants a definite brief answer. He wants to know brief, definite answer. Idam eva jnatum icchan. Samkshiptam, brief. Nischitam, definite. Wanting to know definite and brief answer. Arjuna uvacha. Arjuna ha uvacha. Arjuna asked Krishna. Arjuna said, Jnatehi tasmin tadu uchedaya yatnam kuryam iti. If I understand this answer, definite brief answer, jnate, if it is understood, then tasmin tadu uchedaya, then for somehow for getting rid of the ragadvesha, it be possible for me to make efforts. Yatnam kuryam. I may make efforts to get rid of, to remove ragadveshas somehow. If it is understood exactly what, why there is raga and dvesha. Okay. So wanting to know the brief and definite answer, briefly, he asked Krishna. Bhagavad Pada says, this is what is Arjuna's thinking. So Bhagavad Pada in his commentary brings Arjuna's heart. What should be Arjuna's thinking now? As though Arjuna expressed this in his body language. Oh Krishna, all the time you're talking about ragadvesha, ragadvesha, ragadvesha. Not just you are telling, everywhere ragadvesha is discussed. Vikshipta sarvatra. Parantu na avadharitam, anavadharitam. Why ragadveshas are impediments and you have to manage it? We've been listening to this. Why, how come these ragadveshas are there? In spite of knowing this, what is that really which really causes these ragadveshas? Understand? He wants a definite answer and he wants a brief answer. He wants to know so that he would be able to, he'd be able to get rid of them somehow. This is what Arjuna expressed in his mind, expressed in his behavior or his language, in what he said to Krishna. So Krishna, understanding Arjuna's mind, Krishna gives an answer in the following, and I'm going to give the answer later on. So what did Arjuna ask? Arjuna explicitly asked this question. Kimartam Arjunaha evam prishtavan. If the question is asked, Bhagavad Pada presents the reason for Arjuna asking this question explicitly, openly. What is that? Yadyapi anarthamolam dhyayataha vishyanpamsaha ragadveshavhyasya paripantanam iticha uktam vikshiptam anavadharitam chatad uktam. It has been explained already, but still it has not yet been ascertained well. Tat sankshiptam nischitam cha idam eva jnatum icchan. Idam jnatum icchan eva. Wanting to know the brief and definite answer, and thinking, knowing this answer would help him get rid of that. Jnate hi tasmin, tasmin jnate, when that is understood, tad uccedaya yatnam kuriyam, at least I may try to get rid of that. With his thinking, Arjuna asked his question. Is it clear? Clear or not? Okay. Atha kena prayuktoyam papancharati purushah. Atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah. Anichchannapi varshneya baladivani yojitah. Anichchannapi varshneya baladivani yojitah. Arjuna, if he simply, even not only his body language, not only because he openly asked it now. Atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah anichchannapi varshneya baladivani yojitah. Atha, then, purushaha is equal to purushaha, a person, papam charati. Purushaha papam charati. Manushaha papam charati. A person does wrong action, goes against dharma. How? Not that wanting to do wrong action. Anichchannapi, without desiring to do wrong action also, balat niyojitaha iva, as though impelled, compelled forcefully, a person papam charati. No thief really wants to steal, but he steals. No murderer really wants to murder, but he does it. A fraction, no thinking. So, whoever does any wrong action, he does it anichchannapi, even though heart of the heart not desiring to do also, balat niyojitaha iva, as though he is forcefully compelled to do that action, a person does the wrong thing. What is that? Kena prayuktaha. So induced or impelled by what? A person is as though impelled, does the wrong thing, in spite of not wanting to do wrong action. That is the question. What makes a person go against dharma? What makes a person do the wrong action? What makes a person disturb the universal harmony? What makes a person disturb the order? Kena prayuktaha anichchannapi balat niyojitaha iva kena prayuktaha purushaha papam charati. He's addressing Bhagavan as He Varshneya. O Krishna, you who are of Vrishni Vamsha, why does a person go against dharma? Why does a person does a wrong thing in spite of not wanting to do, as though he's compelled to do the wrong action? Atha, you see the Bhashyam part, kena hetu bhutena, kena hetu bhutena prayuktaha san. What is that main reason? What is that? Because of which? What's the reason, specific reason impelled by which? Rajna iva vrityaha ayam papam karma charati. Papam karma charati acharati. Charati follows, performs, acharati. Rajna vrityaha iva. See, when a king instructs the servant, vritya is servant. When the king instructs, the servant has no choice. He has to do it. So, rajna vrityaha prayuktaha vrityaha iva. As though the servant impelled by the king does what is he asked to do, so also completely, helplessly, choicelessly. See, there's no choice here. There's no help here. Vrityaha does out of fear. Has no choice. He cannot think whether he should do it or not. Because he is told by the king. Rajna vrityaha iva. Just as a servant instructed, ordered by the king, does whatever is asked to do. So also completely, what is that main reason impelled by which? This person also, papam karma charati, papam karma acharati, he does the wrong action. He goes against dharma. Purushaha, okay, here the person, swayam anichchannapi, in spite of himself not wanting to do also, swayam anichchannapi, he does. So what is the reason? What is the reason, specific reason, which is the cause for him doing something wrong? Kena hetu bhutena prayuktaha sanna rajna bhrityaha iva ayam purushaha papam karma charati, papam karma acharati. Swayam anichchannapi, in spite of himself, him not desiring to do. He varshneya vrishnikula prasutaha. He vrishnikula prasuta. Varshneha means vrishnikule jataha. So vrishnikulas prasutaha. Krishna, you who are born in the family of Vrishni, addressing him, then he is telling, balati iva. For the sake of Sanskrit students, varshneyaha is equal to vrishnikule jataha. Vrishnikule, vrishnikula prasutaha. Prasutaha is equal to jataha, born in the family of Vrishni. Therefore, Krishna is called varshneyaha. That is not important here, but still is addressed. Hey Varshneya, hey Krishna, Vrishnikula Prasuta, Kena Hetabhutena Prayuktaha San, Yatha Raja Rajna Bhrityaha Prayuktaha Tatha, Balata Iva Niyojitaha, Rajna Iva, Balat Rajna Niyojitaha Iva, Niyojitaha Vrityaha Iva. Just as strictly instructed by the king, the servant who is instructed by the king does whatever he does without paying any attention, without thinking whether it's right or wrong. इति उक्तः दृष्टान्तः. दिस हियर दृष्टांत एग्जाम्पल ऑल इज गिवन. वाई दिस एग्जाम्पल मस्ट थिंक अबाउट इट. द किंग्स इंस्ट्रक्शन इज देयर, किंग्स कमांडमेंट ऑर्डर इज देयर, द सर्वेंट हैज नो चॉइस. Does not think about, no second thought. Should I do it or should I not do it? No second thought. No thinking involved. Just he obeys, he does it. In the same way, before doing an action, when a person is impelled and he does not use his reasoning, buddhi is not used. Is it wrong? Is it right? Should I do it? Should I not do it? What will be the consequence? What will be the effect? Doesn't think about it. This is what not seeing beforehand the consequence of the effect of this action. Without foreseeing the consequence, a person does mechanically does, because his reasoning is not involved. He does not think before doing. So what is that? Impelled by what? Impelled by which? The person does without paying any attention, without thinking of the foreseeing the consequences, a person does it. What is that? That's what Arjuna wants to know. Then, shunutvam tam vairinam sarva anarthakaram yam tvam pruchyati. Now, Bhagavan says, Arjuna, may you listen to that. May you listen. Tvam shunu tam vairinam. May you understand that enemy. Vairi is enemy. But vairi, nakaranta shabda. Tam vairinam tvam shrunu. Sarva anarthakaram. It is, may understand that to be, that reason, that which impels a person to go against dharma, that which impels a person to do the wrong action. Understand that to be the worst enemy, the cause of all afflictions, all suffering, sarva anarthakaram. That which alone causes all afflictions and suffering. Yam tvam pruchyasi. That main reason, that thing which you want to know, which you ask as that which impels a person to do the wrong thing, we understand that to be enemy, because it causes all sufferings, all afflictions. Sarva anarthakaram. Therefore what? Vairi. Vairinam sarva anarthakaram vidhi. Mean shrunu, may understand. So yam tvam pruchyasi tam sarva anarthakaram vairinam tvam shrunu. That which you want to know, may understand that to be enemy, that to be the maker, that to be the one which brings all afflictions and suffering. So Bhagavan says, in his context, very nice, Bhagavad Pada explains, Bhagavad Pada explains actually the meaning of the word Bhagavan also. We'll see here. What is the meaning of, Shankar Bhagavad Pada explains the meaning of the word Bhagavan here. Okay. Aishwaryasya samagrasya dharmasya yashasaha shriyaha vairagyasya atha mokshasya shannam bhaga iti irina. Iti irana. See, very beautiful. See, Bhagavan vacha. Can you understand? Now, Bhagavan is going to give an answer. And bhaji Bhagavan vacha. Pooja Swamiji, in his Gita Homestudy, we are all Gita Homestudy people, all would have read the meaning of the word Bhagavan, which Swamiji explains in the very beginning itself. So, in the very beginning itself, Swamiji explains the meaning of the word Bhagavan there itself. And the meaning of the word Bhagavan is given in a verse form in Vishnu Puranam. So, Shankara Bhagavat Pada is Alayam Purananam. He is abode of all Puranas. He knows all the verse in his memory. So, Bhagavat Pada easily quotes that verse from Vishnu Puranam. The verse from Vishnu Puranam gives the meaning of the word Bhagavan. Now, you can ask, where did Swamiji get the meaning? Okay. Meaning of the word Bhagavan is given in Vishnu Puranam. So, Bhagavad Pada quotes here, Aishwaryasya samagrasya dharmasya yashasasriyah vairagyasyatha mokshasya shannam bhagayitirina. Aishwaryasya samagrasya dharmasya yashasasriyah vairagyasyatha mokshasya shannam bhagayitirina. Aishwaryasya samagrasya dharmasya yashasasriyah yashasasriyah vairagyasyatha mokshasya shannam bhagayitirina. So, samagrasya of entirety. So, entirety of Aishwaryam, entirety of the overlordship, dharmasya, yashasaha shriyaha, entirety of the fame, entirety of the wealth, entirety of dispassion, entirety of the freedom, entirety of dharma, okay, all these six together, Aishwaryam, dharmaha, yashaha, shriyaha, vairagyam, mokshaha. So there, the word dharma is given here for the strength. Yashaha, shriyaha, aishwaryam. And moksha stands for jnanam. Understand, you don't, oh my God, there we understood jnanam. Here the word jnanam is not there. The word mokshaha stands for jnanam. You can say samagrasya jnanasya. Samagrasya dharmasya means viryasya. Samagrasya aishwaryasya. Samagrasya dharmasya viryasya. Samagrasya yashasaha. Samagrasya shriyaha. Samagrasya vairagyasya. Samagrasya mokshasya is equal to jnanasya. Okay? The knowledge in its entirety, implying freedom. Dharma in its entirety, implying strength. Fame in its entirety. Prosperity in its entirety. Overlordship in its entirety. Dispassion in totality. Total dispassion. All these together, what now? The six virtues. So the word Bhaga stands for the six virtues in equal measure. And the one who is endowed with the Bhaga is Bhagavat, like Gunavat, Dhanavat, Bhagavat. In masculine gender, Bhagavan. In feminine gender, Bhagavati. Two different words in two different genders, but mean the same. See, the absolute reality, ultimate truth, looked upon as Ishvara, is said to be endowed with the Bhaga, the sixfold virtues in equal measure, is Bhagavan. That Bhagavan said here. Okay. It is, Aishwaryadi Shatkam Yasmin Vasudeve Bhagavad Pada explains further. Having quoted that verse from Vishnu Puranam, Bhagavad Pada says, who is Bhagavan here? Okay. Aishwaryadi Shakkam Yasmin. Yasmin Vasudeve. Nityam apratibaddhatvena. Samasthyena cha vartate. See, samasthyena apratibaddhatvena nityam yasmin vartate. Yasmin vasudeve vartate. Aishwaryade shatkam saha bhagavan. See, here, even though you are seeing Krishna as... See, Arjuna was talking to Krishna, Bhagavan Krishna. Okay? Krishna was like any other human being. He was in human form. So don't mistake that Krishna as a human form, okay? Even though there's only personification here of the very truth. Krishna was the personification of the very truth. And the truth is Brahmatma. Brahmatma is Ishvara. And Brahmatma is endowed with the sixfold virtues in equal measure. That's what he says here. Aishwaryadi Shatkam. Please bear with me today. Let me finish this verse and stop. Aishwaryadi Shatkam Yasmin Vasudeve. A set of sixfold virtues called Shatkam. Shatkam means a set of six. Shat means six. Shatkam means a set of six. Aishwaryadi Shatkam means a set of six virtues such as overlordship, etc. Aishwaryadi Shatkam is equal to a set of virtues, six virtues, such as overlordship, etc., remains in whom? Remains in Vasudeva, Bhagavan Vasudeva, in whom these virtues are there. How? Apratibaddhatvena. Apratibaddhatvena, without any obstruction. They flow from Bhagavan. Without any obstruction. Apratibaddhatvena. So the only source of all knowledge, the only source of freedom, the only source of this total dispassion, the only source of all strength, the only source of all fame, the only source of all wealth, all prosperity, is Bhagavan here. Therefore, how they remain in him? Apratibaddhatvena. Without being obstructed. Samasthyenacha. Mean what? In equal measure. Samasthyenacha. Apratibaddhatvena. Always. Is it? Samasthyena means samastam means entire. Please make a note. Samastam is adjective entire. Samastyam entirety. Please make a note. Samastam is equal to entire. Samastyam noun entirety. Samasthyena means in its entirety. So set of sixfold virtues such as this overlordship, etc., obtains without any obstruction in its entirety in Vasudeva. That Vasudeva is Bhagavan. Aishwaryadi Shatkam Yasmin Vasudeve. And when is it there? Always. Always a source of existence. All these sixfold virtues exist in Bhagavan in their entirety. He is Bhagavan. One more meaning of the word Bhagavan is given here. Utpattim pralayam chaiva bhutanamagatim gatim veti vidyama vidyancha savacho bhagavaniti. உற்பத்திம் பிரலயம் செய்வ பூதானாமாகதிம் கதிம் வேத்தி வித்யாம வித்யாஞ்ச சவாச்சோ பகவானிதி. So another beautiful verse. With this verse I'll stop the class. Okay. உற்பத்திம் ச வேத்தி. See, who is Bhagavan here? சக பகவானிதி வாச்சியா. That being is, that being should be understood as, known as, uttered as Bhagavan. Who is that? What is that being? Yeah, that being which knows. Veti, yaha veti. Utpattim veti, pralayam veti. One who knows the origination and resolution. Utpattim veti, pralayam veti. The knower of utpattihi, origination, pralayaha, resolution, dissolution. Bhutanam agatim gatim cha. And one who knows the arrival of beings and departure of beings. Bhutanam agatim gatim cha veti. The knower of origination and resolution of the universe. The knower of arrival and departure of beings. Vidyam cha vidyam cha veti. Beautiful. This morning I explained this. Vidyam cha vidyam cha veti. The one who knows ignorance and knowledge. The knower of ignorance and knowledge. Who is distinct from the known ignorance and knowledge. Understand? The knower of ignorance and knowledge. Vidyam veti avidyam cha veti. Saha vachyaha bhagavaniti. Bhagavan should be understood as the one who knows origination and resolution. Who knows the arrival of beings and departure of beings. Who knows the ignorance, who knows the knowledge. Means absolute knowledge is Bhagavan. Ultimate knowledge is Bhagavan. The total knowledge is Bhagavan. Outside of which there is no strength, there is no fame, there is no overlordship, there is no prosperity, there is no freedom. There's no dispassion. Nothing is outside of Bhagavan. That's if Bhagavan is the one who is endowed with the Bhaga, the sixfold virtues in equal measure. So, utpatyadi vishayam cha vijnanam yasya saha vasudevaha vachyaha Bhagavan. Saha Bhagavan, saha vasudevaha Bhagavan iti vachyaha. The Bhagavan who knows the origination of the objects, etc., who knows the knowledge, who knows ignorance, who is endowed with the knowledge of everything. Yasya vijnanam, Bhagavan who is endowed with the knowledge of creation, resolution, etc., all everything as an object, that Bhagavan, that Vasudeva should be understood as Bhagavan. Utpatyad vishayam cha vijnanam yasya. Saha vasudevaha bhagavan iti vachyaha. Bhagavan iti vachyaha. Don't take Krishna for granted. Krishna, who is son of Vasudeva, is actually Bhagavan. Okay. Having said this much, having talked about Bhagavan, now actually the verse is going to come. So Bhagavan, or Bhagavad Sri, Bhagavan Shankara, Shankara Bhagavatpada talks about Bhagavan Krishna. That Bhagavan says here. Bhagavan is free from kama, free from anger. Only who is free from anger and desire, he can talk about it. That is why he is talking about Bhagavan. Who is Bhagavan Krishna here? The Bhagavan Krishna who is playing the role of a teacher is absolutely free from anger and desire. Therefore, he is capable of talking about it now. That Bhagavan is going to talk. So, who is talking about the cause of anger and desire? Bhagavan Krishna. Who is that Bhagavan? Sakshat, very truth. Isn't it? That is why Krishna Vasudeva is Bhagavan. He explains the meaning of the word Bhagavan, gives two beautiful verses from Vishnu Puranam. Maybe it will also go to our glossary. we will go to this. You will see that soon. So, the verse is going to come. Let us see the verse here. Is it clear now, until now, what you have seen? And make it very clear. Any doubts? Okay. Kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samud bhavah mahashano mahapapma vidhyenamiha vairinam kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samud bhavah mahashano mahapapma vidhyenamiha vairinam. The secret is revealed. The secret is, what is that enemy? What is that Mahavairi? Who is that enemy, great enemy? Secret is revealed in this verse. Eshaha kamaha. This desire is the enemy. Eshaha krodha. This anger is the enemy. Okay? And this anger and desire, what out? Rajoguna samudbhavaha. They originate from Rajoguna, the products of Rajoguna. So where there's Rajoguna's predominance, there you can see definitely that you can see anger being expressed. Anger is very natural thing. Desire is very natural because products of Rajoguna, Rajoguna samudbhavaha, they originate from Rajoguna. And it is anger, and this is desire and anger, products of Rajoguna, the inexplicably subtle phenomena, but still material products, products of Rajoguna. Maha Ashanaha, great devourer. Maha Papma, great sinner. Great devourer means what? Maha Ashanaha means devourer, eater, engulfer. You fulfill one desire, you think desire will come to an end. You eat a slice of bread, hunger is gone. No, for 1 or 2 hours. What I'm saying, the anger, the desire. He says, Maha Ashanaha, you fulfill one desire, new desire will come. You fulfill one desire, another desire will come. The desire will never say enough. Fire in the Agni Kunda, when the Agni is there, we offer ghee. The fire will never say enough. Please stop. No. The more you ghee you pour, the more it will consume, the more it will lend its flames, that flames the tongues out. What it wants is, what he said here is, the fire will never say enough. When the yajna yagas are performed, the fire will never say enough with the ghee. It asks for more oblation, it asks for more fuel. The more you spend fuel, the more it'll be asked for. That's why fire is called analaha, na alam yasya, analaha, na alam. It never say enough. When food is served for us, we say what? Enough. There'll be a point we say enough. The fire will never say enough. The fire is called analaha. Na alam yasya. The same way, desire also will never say, okay, you have fulfilled so many of desires. Enough. No more desire will not rise. No. Desire will be there. One desire is fulfilled, new many desires will come. New desires will come. That is why we are helpless. Maha Ashanaha. The more desires you fulfill, the more and more new desires will crop up. That is the nature of the desire. That is why desire will never stop you from doing something. Desire will chase you, drive you to do something or the other. And being driven and chased by these desires, unmanageably, you'll end up doing wrong things also. That's why desire has to be managed. Okay, maha ashanaha, and that's so what now, and being chased by desires, impelled by desires, to the extent somehow go do wrong thing and fulfill your desire. It is the pressure of the desire makes a person even go against dharma for the sake of fulfillment of desire. That's why maha papma, great sinner also. Maha, even though desire is the blessing in disguise, desire also, unmanaged desire, managed desires become a friend. Unmanaged desire becomes a worst enemy, great sinner. Maha ashanaha, maha papma, great devourer and great sinner. Vidhi enam, iha vairinam, Arjuna, may you understand in this context, this desire and anger to be the enemy, the great devourer, the great sinner. This is the literal meaning of the verse. Meaning, Bhasham, we'll see tomorrow. Okay? Kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samudbhavaha mahashano mahapapma vidhyena miha vairinam. We'll see the Bhasham part tomorrow. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.